how to have conquering faith.
We need it, don't we? Well, may the Lord bless us. We want to turn to the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about the story of David. But in this story, especially a lot of the 17th chapter, some of the first, some of the 16th chapter also, there is ways that seem like the Lord revealed to me how to have conquering faith. There's many things in this story that through the Spirit of the Lord, I feel like the Lord encouraged me that I picked up. So we want to start in 16th chapter first, and we're going to start when they were going to choose David. Samuel had came to choose him and anoint one of those children, and it was David, for the king. He would be the next king. And the story is like, David was the youngest. I'm sure his father loved him, but he was out in the sheep with the sheep, taking care of the sheep. And it said that from the commentaries and things that I read, they weren't sure of his exact age at this time, but it was between 8 years and 15 years old, somewhere in there, that he was at this time when he was taking care of the sheep. But they were having a sacrifice. They were having a great feast. But his father and probably all his brothers did not think he was important enough to come to this feast, because they had probably no idea that he would be the one that God would choose. He was maybe thought of as lowly, a lowly job. Little David out there with the sheep. But the thing was, is God looks on the heart. The other brothers might have been good men in their own ways, but they didn't have the heart that David had. God chose him because he had the heart. His heart was right. So we want to read this. And the sixth verse, it says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But Eliab, I believe, was the oldest son. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called his other son and made," I said that because I'm not sure if I can pronounce that just right, "and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammai to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." In other words, we're not going to sit down to this feast of food and eat. We're not going to eat till you bring this child in. Because he figured, this must be the one. Because God has not chosen none of these other sons. So Samuel, I imagine, was getting kind of excited at this young one must be the king, the new king someday. So he sent and brought him in. Now what we want to get a hold of this mainly is how to have overcoming faith. One main reason is check your heart. You know, when we walk up and pray for somebody, we have to have confidence in our own heart. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That God will hear prayer. When we pray at home by ourselves, if we get into the problem, check your heart. For God said he doesn't look on the countenance or the height of our stature or anything like that. He doesn't even look at us like man looks at us. He goes way down into our heart. He goes into the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And when we keep our heart right, that is one way to have conquering faith. You've got to know your own heart the best you can. And if you don't know even God, you can pray, God, reveal to me. If there's something in that heart that's not just right, if there's something in my mind that's just not right, reveal to me, Lord, because I want to have a pure heart so I can have this conquering faith. So anyway, we go back to the story. Now he was sent, he was brought in, he was ruddy and with a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now you wonder how we're going to get to the point where how he slew that Goliath. It wasn't him. It was the Spirit of the Lord that was upon him. It was God that killed the giant. But yet he had to have that conquering faith to go forward. See, this is what I'm trying to say. We have to have the conquering faith to do what God wants us to do. And you know what it says here? He poured that oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up. But it was many years before he actually became king. He didn't become king till he was 30 years old. He fought Goliath when he was about 20 years old. So then there was like 10 years, it was like 10 years between 20 and 30 that he had all these problems with Saul. All these terrible problems with Saul. And Saul wanted to kill him and all those things. We're not going to get into all that, but you know the story of David. So it was a long time after he was really anointed and chosen that he had to wait. And we heard that in Sunday school. He had to wait for that time when he became king. But he was still anointed for the job. He was still going to be the king. So is in our life, sometimes we have a long waiting period, or circumstances are against us, or whatever. But that doesn't change the anointing. That doesn't change that God chose you for your job that he wants you to do. Every one of us has a job. Never think that your job is lowly. Like he took care of his father's sheep, but he was very diligent in it. He did his very best in the job he had till the Lord promoted him to a better job. You know, and that's what God saw in him. And it says it here, now we want to go on to a little bit to, we want to turn over here just a little bit to Corinthians. Most of my scripture is just going to be right there, but I have a little bit I wanted to read in Corinthians. The gifts up in the church and the callings, like he called David. It says here in that, there's many in the 23rd verse of the 12th chapter. Let's read a little bit about that. 1 Corinthians 12 and 20. But now are there they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. It was just like little David. He was not even invited to this feast or this sacrifice because they just thought so low of him that he surely wasn't the one that would be chosen. I mean, Jesse was supposed to have all his children there, but he just counted him. He's not going to be the one, so why even invite him? And yet he became the guest of honor. That's how it's so different how God looks at people than how people look at people. So it says here, so those that you may think is less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And God hath tempered the body together and have given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Maybe there is some things that we lack. But you know what? When we feel our need of God and we lack a few things for the job, then we become more dependent on God and we keep more humble. It's when we get in troubles when people get thinking, oh, I can do this. I can do this for the Lord and I can do this job for the Lord, and and I've got talents and I've got this and that and I know I can do it. When we think that too high of ourselves, that's when we get in trouble. That's when the Lord has to humble us, and that's when pride lifts us up. And when we get before God and say, God, I can't do this without you. I need your help, Lord. I need you. And I'm depending on you to help me. And that's where God wants to keep us, that we go through the school of humility. Many times people go through the school of humility to do God's job. But God wants us to keep realizing that every one of us isn't, God needs you, every one of you. God needs us. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And then it goes on to say, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues or diversities of languages. You know, some can talk different languages. Some can be a blessing that way. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So you see how that there's many diversities of gifts. And the fourth verse of the same chapter says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. One is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. And so it goes on, that all the members, for as the body is one, hath many members, in the 12th verse, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, for also is Christ. So anyway, we just wanted to read that, those scriptures there, that we are a chosen vessel. We are vessels. The song says, I am only an earthen vessel, but Jesus has pleasure in me. Whether much I may do in his vineyard, or small be the place that I feel, every one of you can be and are a vessel for God. We all have different jobs in the church, but we all have a vessel that God can use. If we consecrate that vessel and give it to God and keep our heart right, it will bring us confidence to have conquering faith in times like this. You know, we need conquering faith. We need to know our heart. We need to keep our heart diligently. You know, there's a scripture that says, keep your heart diligently, for out of it become the issues of life. I believe that's over in Proverbs. It's in Proverbs, exactly where it is, but out of it is the issues of life. So we want to keep our heart just right. And this says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's Proverbs 3 and 5. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean to our own understanding. Not just like the father of David. He thought David wasn't the one, but he was wrong. So we need to not lean to our own understanding. We need God's direction. You know, God is able to help us to be what, I'm not quite getting that scripture, but I know it's in there. That, I don't know if I didn't write it down, but anyway, the Lord knows that keep your heart diligently, because out of it is the issues of life. Everything that happens to us, a lot of the time is our heart. We got to keep our heart just right to have conquering faith. So the anointing, David was anointed. Now we want to go over to the 17th chapter, and talk a little bit about what he was getting ready to face. Now, you know this giant, this Goliath. I studied about this. You know how tall Goliath was? 9 feet, 9 inches tall. If you study the cubits, 6 cubits was 9 feet. And a span is 9 inches. So this is how tall Goliath was. And Goliath had all the armor. He had heavy, heavy armor on him. But he had a vacant spot there in his forehead that he didn't cover. Now, some of the commentaries when I was studying this, it said that, which I don't know that, but I just know it was vacant. But they said when he kind of hollered out at David, he might have kind of hit his, you know, tilted his head back and that opened up, but whatever. But anyway, it was open where God could kill Goliath with that stone. But what we want to get here in the third verse, the Philistines stood on one mountain and the Israelites stood on the other mountain. And in this valley is when this Goliath would come out. And the Israelites had conquered the Philistines not very long before that. So the Philistines really didn't want to fight Israel like man to man, you know, like all of them. So they came up with this, that Goliath is so big and surely he can beat anybody. So he would be in the valley calling, you know, you send someone from Israel and we'll just have two men fight. And whoever wins, then you know, Israel and the Philistines, they'll be the winner. And just think about this. For 40 days, Goliath would come out every morning and every night and challenge to send someone. And he said, I defy the armies of Israel. He defied the living God. This is what he would say. And this is another thing about David. I don't think it was so much that David thought, you know, I wanna be Goliath and I wanna be, you know, praised for that. But he did not like that Goliath would say that he was defying the Israelites. He was defying the living God. David did not like that because he loved God. And there was his heart issue again. He loved God and he could do whatever he could do to fight for God. This is how God wants us to be. He wants us to have that heart where we'll be valiant for the truth, valiant for the right in a right way, but stand for the right and stand for the truth. He wants us to be valiant and have conquering faith. In times like these that we're going through, we got to have some conquering faith. We do. We got to believe. You know, the Lord wants to help us today. So anyway, I want to read this. There went out a champion, for the verse, in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which is 9 foot 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And you know, if you would look at it, humanly speaking, you would think that he could beat every one of those. They couldn't send a man out there because he could beat every one of them. That's what you would think. And that's why for 40 days this kept going on, because they were afraid of him. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now fear. Fear is something that we've got to get over. It's not easy always to get over fear. But you know, faith is opposite of fear. So we have to get over fear. You know, and the enemy wants to just get us all fearful. He wants to just get us so afraid. And this is what was happening. They were so afraid for 40 days. And the reason Saul was afraid is because the Spirit of the Lord at Lefsan, they said that Saul, as king, he was their leader. Now, if leaders act too afraid, the people are going to be afraid. Now, what the Lord challenged me, he said, you're going to have to encourage the saints to have faith. Because if you get afraid and you show too much fear, or any of the leaders show too much fear, the people are going to be afraid. And not only the people will be afraid, they're going to be more afraid. But if you'll try to encourage them to have some faith, you can encourage them not to be afraid. Everybody, when you're a human being, can be tempted with fear. It doesn't mean you're a bad person at all. I mean, you know, everybody have, it says, in what time I am afraid, I will trust. So it's an emotional thing. It's a thought. It's a feeling. But God can help us to have faith. And when David came upon the scene a little bit, but what we want to say is Saul, they said he was one of the tallest men of Israel. He was over 6 foot tall. He probably, if he'd had the Spirit of the Lord with him, he probably could have been a good challenge and God could help Saul. But Saul had, the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. He was probably taller than David. I didn't check that out, but I think he was. He was over, it said, well, he was the tallest man of Israel, so he was. He was taller than David. He was over 6 foot tall. Well, Goliath was almost 10 foot tall. But the problem was here, Saul was just as afraid as the rest of them. He was the king and the leader, but the Spirit of the Lord had left him. And then before that, David had been in the court, and David had played music for Saul. This was before that. Then he was called back to his father's home to take care of sheep, and he condescended right back to that lowly job. It was okay. And so Saul kind of even forgot who David was. If you read the end of the story, he says, who is this son? Who's his father, you know? But anyway, if you go read a little bit more here, we got to conquer fear. That's a heart, fear, how to conquer, how to have conquering faith. We got to conquer fear to have faith. You can't say that fear is in faith. Fear is just not in faith. Is it? Starts with the same letter, F, but it's not in faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. So, here we go now. We're going to read a little bit more about third thing, how to have conquering faith. We mentioned heart. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to discouragement. We have a lot of discouragement going on, coming at us, discouraging talk. We have to resist discouragement, even talk within ourselves. You know, we can talk to ourselves discouragement. We have to talk to ourselves faith. And we can't let others or the devil talk to us discouraging thoughts. We have to resist that to have conquering faith. So this is what happened here. All this he comes before. And so David, his father sent him down there. Remember the story about his father said, I want you to, and let's read in the 70 verse, I want you to. David was taking care of the sheep. And this had been going on, like I said, morning and evening for 40 days in the 16th verse. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren, the 17th verse, an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. I was kind of interested what that parched corn was. That parched corn is like a dried corn out, kind of like you might think of a fried corn, but dry roasted corn that they took off the cob. And it's supposed to be for great energy. And his father probably thought they're in a battle, they need some energy. So they're going to take that and 10 loaves of bread and 10 cheeses. And so he listened to his father, and David got all that together. And it said in the 22nd verse, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran unto the army and came and saluted his brethren. Now you got to remember now, this oldest brother was thought that he was going to be anointed the king. This was before that. And he was not anointed. David was anointed. So there's a little bit of jealousy there, was his older brother. Or maybe more than a little bit. But he had it. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of and Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard the words of Goliath. That, you know, that he's going to defy, I defy, you know, the armies of Israel this day and all that. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said in the 25th verse, have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And shall be that the man that killed him, the king, will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killed the Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? This just went all through, so to speak, David. David loved God. He loved God. I tell you what, you get some saints that really love God, and let them come up and just defy the truth. I tell you what, you don't act carnal, but you stand up for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with, everybody can't just be really super quiet. We have to stand up for the Lord. We got to have a voice. And we don't do it in a carnal way, but we stand up for the truth. David, it went all through him what that giant was doing. He was mocking God. He was mocking Israel. His brothers and all of them were afraid. And he said, who is this person? Who is this Philistine that thinks he can defy the armies of the living God? And it said, and the people answered him after this man, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the man. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now just think about it. Eliab wasn't thinking right. He wasn't thinking of the victory for the Israelites that day. He wasn't thinking, all he was thinking is, I don't want my brother to get the glory. That's terrible. He had envy and jealousy and all he's, you know, who is little David? First of all, he gets chosen to be the king and Samuel pours all the oil over my little brother. And here I'm tall and I'm big and they thought it was going to be me. He gets all the glory. They said he gets the anointing. And now he comes here and he thinks he's going to beat Goliath. He was angry. It said he was angry. And he wanted to humiliate him. You know what? That's not right, is it?
No.
And Eliab said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? See, he's trying to embarrass him in front of these people. Like, don't think he can do anything. He takes care of my father's sheep in the wilderness. He's just a little old fella. He can't help us. I know thy pride. Then he accuses him. He didn't have pride. He didn't have naughtiness of heart just to come down and say, his father's sitting there with food for them. But I know your pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now, this is the other thing about how to have conquering faith. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Dear saints, it's not about me. It's not about you. There is a cause for the church of God.
Amen.
It's not about that David was what. David had faith. It was God that killed the giant. No question. There's no way that young boy, if he was 8 to 15 or 15 years old even, I guess he was about 20 years old, but still, he could not kill that giant on his own. God let that powerful stone, just a stone, hit that giant so hard in the forehead that he went to the ground. But he used David. That's the question. He used him because he wanted a vessel. A vessel. Like the song says, I am only an earthen vessel. We're just earthen vessels. One time years ago, I heard a message that said, you know, sometimes there's a shelf in your house and you have some knickknacks there, or some dishes, or women have little dishes. And they sit there and they're really pretty and you don't use them for a long time. And they say, oh, I need those dishes today. I'm having company. You get those dishes, you maybe wash them again, get them all dry and you put them on the table and you use them. It's like we are a vessel that we sometimes are not being used. And then, but when God needs someone, he knows where to go get them. And he gets them and he uses them. That's the way we need to be, ready men, ready women. Minutemen, that's what I want to get. Minutemen in the Army. They were ready to go. Do you know we got military right now ready to go? They've been trained, they've worked and all this stuff. Whether we believe military or not, they're there. You know, and they're ready to go, right? But that's what God wants, and He wants us to be Christian soldiers. Ready to go, having our heart right, having our faith right. Just having conquering faith. God, give me conquering faith. Help me to know there is a cause that's bigger than me. This is what the Lord spoke to me, that you are only an earthen vessel. But there's a cause that's bigger than you. That's why you have to behave yourself in the house of God. And that's why you have to overcome hurt feelings. Dear ones, there's going to be somebody in a big reformation like we got. There's going to be somebody who's going to, what the world says, rub you wrong or hurt your feelings. But you've got to overcome that. You've got to overcome these things. You've got to have conquering faith. Because why? Because there's something bigger than me, than my hurt feelings. There's a cause of the Church of God. I can't quit. I could quit. Would you want me to quit? No, of course not. Would you want someone to backslide? No, of course not. We want our brothers and sisters to go forward. We want to encourage them. We don't want them to quit. We don't want them to be cast away. Then we got to be careful how we deal with each other. Sometimes people do things and I don't agree with it. And I tell you, it takes all the grace of God I got to keep my mouth quiet. But I say, Lord, there will be a time and a place, a right time. If you want it to be corrected, it will get corrected. And we got to keep on the humble side of it. Now, sometimes God wants us to have a voice and say something. Sometimes He wants us to be quiet. We have to know what to do because there's a cause bigger than us. We don't want to be a troublemaker. The Lord gave me a message back in West Virginia meeting last year, I think it was. It was last year or year before that. But anyway, blessed are the peacemakers, for there are the children of God. So we got to be a peacemaker. But there's a cause. There's a cause worth fighting for. A spiritual fight is what I mean. Bigger than us. Bigger than our hurt feelings. More important than anything is God's church and God's cause. I thought about that song. No ground. I'm giving up no ground. We have a cause worth fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take no more. No ground. Now, you know the enemy's trying to put fear on us. He's trying to scare us. This is like a Goliath to us. I'm not going to go too much about it because you know what I'm talking about. There's Goliaths right now working in, trying to come after us. Goliaths. And they're taunting us. And they're saying things. And they're trying to make us afraid. But we got to have conquering faith. We got to know that God has a church. And God's going to help our church. And we've got a cause worth fighting for. The right, the truth, the right spirit. We got to do it in the right spirit. But we got to stand up for the Lord in the right spirit. You know what the Lord's been telling me lately? When I go into the market or anywhere and young man was waiting on me. And then a young girl was waiting on me sometimes. And I'll say, you know what? Are you praying? I said, I'm doing lots of praying. Are you praying? And they said, yeah, yeah. One man says, you need to pray, don't you? I said, you know what? I said, I got saved when I was 18 years old and I'm 66 years old. And God has healed me many times. And He's took care of me and He's answered prayer and He's done so many things. I said, we need to have faith in God and pray. And they said, that's right. We need to pray. And so this is what I'm thinking. I may never see that person again. I may see him at the grocery store again. But we need to be a testimony and tell people, pray. That's okay. It just takes a few minutes or a couple minutes to say that and leave. But you know what? Maybe God can take that seed, like we heard this morning, reap what you sow, that seed, and they'll think about it later, that I need to pray. People are losing hope. They need prayer. They need hope. Praise God. So is there not a cause? Do not let your heart fail you because of this Goliath. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, now here he goes, more discouraging words. How to have conquering faith? You've got to get over people discouraging you with words. People will tell you all kinds of things. I remember Brother Austin Wilson preached one time. I think he said it from the pulpit, but I know he told it to us anyways. But I think he said it from the pulpit, I'm not sure. But he did say it. Trust me, he said it. He said when he was young and started preaching, that a lot of the saints, they meant good people. They're real good people, good saints. But they were looking on the outward appearance and looking at his inabilities they thought he had. And they said, you're not called. Maybe he was struggling when he first started preaching. They said, Brother Ossus, you've missed it. That's not your calling to preach. But he just ignored them and kept going on and going on. He got better and better and better and better. And you know, Brother Ossus, oh, they've got tapes of Brother Ossus teaching on marriage, teaching on all kinds of things. I remember one of the messages that stands out to me, Brother Ossus, I could see him at Monarch. He was up there, and it was a simple message in a way, but it was so good about grace. He said, we have grace. The song says, we have grace as the air we breathe. I can almost see him in my mind. We may each have a full supply. He said, you can have a full supply of grace. You don't need to be under any kind of problem or trouble. You can go to God and he can fill you with grace. I was sitting way back at the tabernacle and I was having some kind of problem. I know it's such a big problem that I can't remember it. See? But at the moment, it was huge. Huge. And you know, Brother Oswald was preaching and I got under conviction to pray and I went back to the cabin somewhere and started praying to the Lord. I didn't hear the rest of his message, but I never forgot the part I heard. I needed it, and I needed that grace, and I thought, I'm going to go get it right now. I didn't want to interrupt his, you know, message. So I went to the cabin, and I prayed through, and God gave me grace. He filled me with what Brother Austin said. Oh, it was wonderful. So you see how they made a mistake on him? They told him to quit. What if they'd listen to Brother Austin would listen to him and quit? Joe Comforter. Jerry always has his little 2 cents, so to speak. I appreciate Jerry. Thank the Lord. That's true. It was Job Comforters. We don't need them. We don't need those kind of people, too. We get them sometimes in our life. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. You should. And they mean well. I got families that tells me all kinds of things. Oh, it's a whirlwind in my mind. Now I have to go pray to the Lord and get his mind. But you know what? It says here, you can't, he said, you're just, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. This is all tells David. You're not able. Thou art but a youth. You're too young. I tell you, you're too young to preach. You know what? There's been preachers that started when they're teenagers. Not too young. You're too young. And he is a man of war from his youth. He's older than you. He's been working at this a long time. Who do you think you are? You know what David was? He was anointed by God. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. It didn't matter how old he was. It didn't matter that he just had 5 stones. It didn't matter. He didn't have to have all that armor because he had God with him because God was going to fight the battle. I tell you what, if we have God with us, we can have conquering faith. And David said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you of my experience. Yes, I'm saying my own words now, but yes, I'm young. I haven't been a man of war like Goliath. I don't have all his armor, but I'm going to tell you what I do have. I'll tell you what I do have. David said unto thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. So this lion had that sheep in his mouth. The bear had the sheep in his mouth. This was not a small thing. Have you ever fought a lion? Spiritually you might. Or have you fought a bear? took that lion, that would make you afraid, wouldn't it, normally? I tell you what, I've been in West Virginia. They had a bear go in the grocery store, a real wild bear out of the mountains. And my mom says, at night, you could be careful when you take the trash. I don't want to take the trash out there, Mom. There's a bear up there in the woods that comes down and eats. Ooh. I'm scared of bears. I am scared of bears. But I'm scared of lions. If I met them out in the woods, you know what I'm trying to say. But if God, I know God's with me, he could deliver me from them. That would be the only time I wouldn't be afraid, because I know I could pray to God to help me. But in my human, we all would be afraid. It'd be a smart thing to be afraid, to get away. But what I'm trying to say is David wasn't afraid because he wanted to save that sheep. He was like Jesus is. The devil's got people in his mouth, so to speak. He's got them clutched. And Jesus goes out there and says, give me my sheep back. The old devil ain't smart. He just kills the old devil, so to speak. Kills him spiritually. And he gets his little sheep. He said, I leave the 99, I go after that sheep that's lost. David was fighting for his father's sheep. That's the kind of man he was, young man. And he went out there and he got that bear and he took that sheep out and he killed the bear. They said, this Goliath will be like that. This is the other way to have conquering faith. Go back to the past and pull up what God has done for you. When the Lord gave me this chapter, the Lord began to talk to me that there was many nuggets in this story about David. Many things that we can get out of it. So he said, the servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and he took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him. I delivered him out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And when Saul heard all that, Saul said, go, and the Lord be with thee. So he must have convinced Saul, didn't he? Well, David, if God done that for you, go ahead, try then. And so then Saul said, but let me put this stuff on you. Let me put this armor. Isn't that just like people? But let me tell you how to do it. Yeah. Now you're not doing, yeah, I believe you're called of God. I believe you're doing a pretty good job, but you're not doing just right. Let me give you some tips. Don't be yourself too much, okay? What? Don't be yourself too much. You got to be real proper. Well, I try to be proper. See how the devil will try to get you just tripped up by putting the armor you're not used to. I can't be anybody but myself. It's hard to be somebody else but myself. Why do you want to be somebody else? You got to just be yourself. Everybody's different. I just read that in Corinthians. Everybody has different gifts. It's hard to be somebody different. And sometimes you think, when I was a little girl, I thought, I admired my cousin's handwriting, and I always got A's. Now, I didn't get A's in all my subjects, but in handwriting and reading, I loved, and I still love reading. And I love handwriting, and I love to write, and always got A's. But one day, I got to looking at my cousin's writing, and I thought, oh, but I like the way she writes. She writes this way. Now, maybe, I don't know why she wrote backwards like. So I practiced writing the way she wrote. I was going to be like her in my handwriting. And so I started writing like that at school. And I got my report card, and I had a C. And I always got A's. But I tried to be somebody else. You can't be somebody else. You can learn. You can get tips in a right way and all that. I'm not saying that. But you really can't be someone else. You've got to be yourself. And I remember crying. I was in sixth grade. And I'm going down the hallway crying because I got a C. And I always got A's. And my teacher says, "What's the matter, Marcia?" I said, "Because you gave me a C in handwriting, I always get A's." And she says, or I think it was she or him, and he says, "We'll come back here and I'll change it for you and give you an A." I said, Oh no, I already know what you think about me. It was a big deal to me. But come to find out, I must have counseled the teacher that I was trying to copy my cousin, and that's why I got the C. It really upset me, and I went back to being my own writing. What I'm trying to say is, this is about David. I can't use this kind of armor. David would have lost the battle if he tried to put that armor that Saul was putting on him. But he said, "I haven't proved it. I'm not used to it. I'm not comfortable with it. I don't know how to do that with your armor. You know, I can't be you because I just can't understand that way." So, and David girded his sword upon his armor. He essayed to go, but for he had not proved it. And David said, see, David actually girded his sword upon his armor. He tried to do it. But David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these. I just cannot, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he did not even have a sword, David, that day. He had a staff, like a shepherd's staff that he used. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, this 5 stones, I don't know, I never quite understand why he had 5 when he only needed 1. But the only thing I'm thinking of is that's just the way we think. We just think, you know, I don't know if I'll kill him with 1 stone, so I better have 4 left here. But God done better than even David thought, didn't he? He did only needed 1, and that 1 went right in this Goliath's head. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David and the man that bare the shield. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto him, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field." Now, you know, that could have scared David too, hearing all that roaring at him. And then David said to he just told him right back, yes. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Oh, saints, that's the way we need to be in some of our battles. We need to shout it. "I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." Oh, I know. I don't know what would happen to me if I could stand up in some of these cities. But you know what? I don't know what happened to me. But it would be just wonderful some Christian could just say, "I come in the name of the Lord." Praise God. "And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to stand to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." Haven't you read so many times in the Bible stories about where God says, that number's too big? Remember? The ones that lap with the water and hold on to their sword, wasn't that it? Not let go of it. They can, and they got down to 300 or something like that, because they lapped with one hand and they kept the sword in the other hand. When they got water, he just kept narrowing it down till there was just a few. There was another story where they were up on the mountain and they were hitting with pans and or whatever, just making lots of noise. But there wasn't a lot of people, because God wanted to get the glory. He always wants to get the glory. He wants to get all the glory. It's not about the big numbers. It's not about, wish we had more numbers, but you know, it's not all about that. He says, "My little flock." God wants quality saints. Not quantity people that won't really have a good heart like David. He wants quality. That's what God's interested in. He wants quality saints that are true in their hearts. That's what God wants. And he said, the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, saints. We got to remember this. The battle is the Lord's. He'll take care of us. He's going to help us. I've been at death's door several times, and God has brought me right back out of it. He's healed me. For I needed God. God is going to take care of us. We're fragile without God, but God is helping us. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't just, I'm going to get my little stone out here. I'm going to throw it in the Goliath. I hope this works. He ran in the name of the Lord and threw that stone with all his might. And God just took him right down. David ran. We're going to have to run sometimes. Run the fight of faith. Not walk. Run. Got to run sometimes. And stood up. I'm talking about spiritually now. And stood upon the Philistine. Oh, he might have to run the other way too. He did. And stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. And I know this sounds getting gory. And cut off his head. I keep thinking about it. Cut off his head for, but he did. He cut off his head. That's what they did back then. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel of Judah rose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And this, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his army in his tent. And I know it sounds kind of gory. I know it does. But it's in the Bible, and that's what he did. He killed the enemy, and he cut his head off. Maybe this could mean some kind of spiritual thing. That we kill the enemy, and we make sure he's dead. We don't mess around halfway dead, or make sure he's dead. He's going to make sure that the enemy was dead, wasn't he? He's going to make sure that Goliath didn't wake back up. Right? Cut his head off. You can't live without, I don't mean to be funny, but you cannot live that way. Oh my goodness. Thank the Lord. Isn't this a wonderful story? Well, praise the Lord. I just got so much good out of that. I've been studying that. And there's so many nuggets in that story. The 17th chapter of the 1 Samuel. I won't tell all the story, but I'll tell you how God gave that to me. I've been reading through the Bible, and I read 2 Samuel 17. I thought, oh no, I made a mistake. I got to read 1 Samuel 17. So I took this little note, and I put a circle around it so I would read it as soon as I get a chance for my next worship. And when I started reading it, then I knew why I had circled that special chapter. Oh, I've got so much good out of that. I pray it'll bless you today, that you'll think about these things. How to have conquering faith like David. How to have it. We meet giants in our life. They're different kind of giants. They're not named Goliath. But oh my. Sometimes we have some real big giants. But we can have conquering faith by remembering what God has done for us back there years ago, what he did for us. And we know he's just the same today. And I was wondering if anybody had that